VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we're so glad you've joined us for our program today. Folks, this is a momentous week. And today, voters in Georgia going to the polls. The control of the U.S. Senate hangs in the balance. It's being reported that there is a high voter turnout. And get this, there may be delays in the final count. That's what they're reporting. I'm not sure if they're expecting another water main break or not. By the way, it wasn't a water main break. It was a fixture in a restroom that had broken, but it stopped all the counting. Stopped all the counting from taking place. Go home. We're not picking up votes till tomorrow, and everybody goes home and, oh yeah, let's start counting votes again. Well, tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern time then as well, Congress convenes. We have Vice President Mike Pence that will be presiding over the certification vote of the presidency. It's being reported that a large number of House members will be objecting to the certification in contested states, and some 11 senators are going to be joining ranks with Senator Ted Cruz in doing the same thing. Our guest today has written a column indicating that the stakes are high this week, so high that could mean the saving of our republic. Joining us, we have Robert Knight. Bob is a former Los Angeles Times news editor, a writer, and was a media fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University. He's a regular weekly columnist for the Washington Times, townhall.com, onenewsnow.com, and others. He's held senior positions in a number of pro-family organizations. He has co-authored 3 books, written 10 others, including The Coming Communist Wave, What Happens If the Left Captures All 3 Branches of Government, and Liberty on the Brink, How the Left Plans to Steal Your Vote. Bob, welcome back.
Oh, thank you, Jim, and thanks for the nice introduction. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about.
Indeed. You wrote this book on what happens if the left captures all 3 branches of government. It's possible, Bob, we're on the verge of seeing this very thing.
Well, that could be, although they don't have the courts yet. That's one of the branches of government. But yeah, we're talking about the legislative and executive, which would be the two houses of Congress and the White House. They think they've gotten Biden elected president, and they have the House by a very slim margin, the slimmest they've had in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're looking at the Georgia Senate races today. If they manage to get those 2 seats, then they'll have a tie in the Senate, and Kamala Harris could break the tie with any votes.
Let me just further explain, though, on the verge of all 3 branches, because, I mean, one of the things they're talking about is court stacking that would enable, taking ultimately the U.S. Supreme Court in the mix here as well.
Yeah, there are a number of things they pledged to do if they get the power to do it. They would pass the For the People Act, and that would eliminate election safeguards that are still there. They'd get rid of voter ID laws. They would allow ballot harvesting in all the states. And we'd have same-day voter registration. I mean, they'd weaken the election safeguards to the point where this past election might seem like a very secure election compared to what's ahead. They said they'll pack the Supreme Court. They'll add judges so we won't have a conservative majority anymore. They want to get rid of the Electoral College completely. They want to pass the Equality Act, which I call it the Criminalizing Christianity Act, because it raises to civil rights status with all the power that implies the worldview that sexuality is entirely in the mind of the beholder and that there can be no real distinctions between the sexes or what you do with your sexuality. And to, as a preview, just yesterday, the House passed new rules for the House under Nancy Pelosi saying you can't use father, mother, daughter, son, anything that would imply actual gender anymore when conducting House business. How crazy is this?
Well, I'll tell you how crazy it is. It gets even crazier. And you brought up the House, and we're going to be moving all over in our talk here today. But the House had an interesting start to their 117th Congress. It was opened in prayer by Reverend Emmanuel Cleaver. He's an ordained Methodist minister, represents a district in Missouri. And he altered the traditional ending of amen by saying amen and a woman. Bob, we're going to hear the clip, and then we'll have you comment on it here.
Okay.
Now may the God who created the world and everything in it bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us and give us peace. Peace in our families, peace across this land. And dare I ask, O Lord, peace even in this chamber, now and evermore. We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths. A man and a woman.
Unbelievable. A man and a woman.
Which is more offensive, his ridiculous amen, a woman, or dedicating it to Brahma?
Yeah, Hindu God.
All the other gods.
Yeah.
I mean, why would a man of the cloth, a Christian minister, ordained, cite false gods to bless the house?
Yeah.
And then do his stunt with amen, woman. At the least, he should have done women. You know, it might have been grammatically more correct. But it's absurd. This shows they have complete contempt for reality, for our heritage, and especially for biblical thinking, for the Bible itself.
Yeah.
I mean, they're out of control.
Folks, just so you know, the word amen has nothing to do with gender whatsoever. It means so be it. You know, so be it.
Yeah.
It's closing off a prayer, so be it. You pray in the name of Jesus and so be it. And it has nothing to do with gender. He's trying to be gender specific or gender correct. Nancy Pelosi had just put down new rules in the House about avoiding certain gender words in the House and so forth. And you're right, Bob. Not only does he just do this, but he also prays in it's a Hindu god, Brahma, and the other matter is, and I'd have to say Christian in name only, because this is not a tenet of a born-again believer who has the authority of God's word as his basis. That is not coming forth in this prayer whatsoever.
No, he's a heretic, obviously, and it has no business giving the prayer as a man of the cloth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he presented himself as a syncretist and or pantheist and or a Baha'i and drew elements from all major religions and was honest about it, okay, that's his prerogative. But to present himself as a Christian minister and then do something so heretical is just it's disgusting. But, you know, I do like the response, though. Social media is blowing up on this. People are having fun with it. One friend sent me a picture of a manatee from Florida and said, from henceforth, they'll have to be called womanatees.
Yes.
And the nation of Germany will henceforth be called Jerwomany. And, you know, you can have a lot of fun with the absurdity they present us.
Bob, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Pelosi also named the first female chaplain for the House of Representatives as well. But Bob, as you pointed out, there are so many things that are going on. You mentioned the Equality Act or the Criminalization of Christianity Act, because that is something that this will do. But there is also, you also write about enacting the For the People Act. And normally when we hear legislation like this, the net effect has no correlation to the title. I mean, case in point is the Affordable Care Act. What is this For the People Act?
Well, it's like when they name a communist country the People's Republic of China. You know, it's not about the people. It's about the communist overseers. The For the People Act is not about for the people. It's to ensure democratic dominance for the foreseeable future. It removes the most important safeguards. One of the biggest problems we have is dirty voter rolls. And all over the country, you have more people listed as active voters than actually exist. Some of them have died. Some of them have moved. Some are illegal immigrants. I mean, this has been turned up in study after study. I used to work for the American Civil Rights Union, which is now the American Constitutional Rights Union. And our group examined the voter rolls in Philadelphia and in other Pennsylvania and in Pennsylvania counties. And in other places, Virginia, and found out that thousands of people were on the voter rolls who didn't belong, and the officials refused to clean them up. These were Democrats, and they just said tough. We sued Broward County, Florida, which was the epicenter of the 2000 election with the hanging chads and all that. It was Broward and Palm Beach that held up the Bush-Gore election. And Broward had very dirty voter rolls, still does, because the supervisor there, a longtime Democrat, refuses to clean them up. And they got a Obama-appointed judge to throw the case out. So, well, I mean, this For the People Act would put all these things in place, an inability to keep voter rolls clean, an inability to determine if you really are who you say you are when you vote, getting rid of voter ID laws, and ballot harvesting, which is one of the most dangerous. That eliminates the secret ballot. You know, the whole idea of the secret ballot is to preserve people's freedom to vote for who they want.
Mm-hmm.
You go in the booth and nobody knows who you vote for, but not with the mail-in ballots and certainly ballot harvesting. You could have a goon coming down your street saying, hand over your ballot. We'll make it out for you. And that's happened in South Texas and other places.
Bob, we also heard in our own legislature that it had a hearing on the aftermath of this election. I mean, testimony about people, elderly people, who were strong-armed by the workers to vote a certain way, or those who are mentally incompetent casting votes, and they just have no clue as to who candidates were. And also in Wisconsin, we saw the same thing matter where there were many, many thousands of voters that had moved, that had not, you know, responded to the postcards that were sent out to verify addresses and so forth, and had moved out of the area, moved to different premises, and yet the Elections Commission just thumbed their nose at a court ruling and just said, we're not going to clean up this voter roll. And now we bear the fruit of that inaction, and you know, to many, they see that as being purposeful.
Well, yeah, there's no valid reason for not wanting clean, accurate voter rolls and voter ID laws, except for paving the way for vote fraud. Really, there's no reasonable way to defend not wanting the voter rolls accurate or the voters themselves to be who they say they are. I mean, that's absurd. Here's the thing I want to address, Jim, and that is the way people who are questioning the accounts of vote fraud and that have come out. Within the last few weeks, I have read numerous articles, some of them by computer specialists, talking about how the stopping of voting in the middle of the night, several states, and the sudden resumption with hundreds of thousands of Biden votes out of the blue that couldn't have been done by vote feeding. It had to have been an algorithm. They never address these charges. They just attack the people who are raising them.
Mm-hmm.
I see it every day. I pick up the Washington Post, which I have to read, unfortunately. And it's all these attacks on Josh Hawley, the Republican senator from Missouri, who's challenging the integrity of the vote, and Ted Cruz, who's gotten 11 other senators, Republicans, to challenge the counting of the electoral vote, saying that we need a review. There are just too many cases in which there seem to be credible allegations of vote fraud for us to just go and continue on as if nothing had happened. And you never see them address this. You never say, well, gee, we've looked at that computer evidence and it's faulty and this is why. You never see it. They just start attacking the person who's raised it.
Folks, we're
making it a character issue.
We're going to take a quick break. Bob Knight is with us here today. At stake, the saving of our republic. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, creation author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, you say that there was no death before Adam sinned. But what about plants? Didn't Adam eat plants?
Yes, Chris, Adam and Eve did eat plants in the Garden of Eden. But was this really death in the biblical sense? There's a profound theological distinction between plants and animals in the Bible. Both man and the animals are described as having life, Hebrew nephesh, which plants don't have. The term life is reserved for those animals in whose nostrils is the breath of life, and also by the fact that life is in the blood. Plants have neither breath nor blood. Thus, the eating of a plant in the Garden of Eden wouldn't necessarily involve death. Plants are biologically alive, but they're not biblically alive in the sense that they do not have true life. You see, Chris, there's always an answer to the anti-creationist questions. Back to Genesis. Now that works.
Thanks, Dr. Morris.
Robert Knight is our guest here today on Crosstalk, and just wrote a column at stake, The Saving of Our Republic, where we'll be looking more at matters unfolding tomorrow before Congress. But, Bob, before we do that, a couple of items. Number one, your columns are available to our listeners. How is it that they can get a free subscription?
Well, they could just email me at robertknight4@gmail.com. That's the number four, just robertknight4, K-N-I-G-H-T. RobertKnight4@gmail.com, or they can go to my website, which is RobertHKnight.com. I hope that doesn't confuse too many people. One has H in it, and the other has a 4 in it. The email has the number in it, and the website is just RobertHKnight.com.
Okay, again, folks, matter of fact, you'll find Bob's books there as well, and The Coming Communist Wave, What Happens If the Left Captures All Three Branches of Government, and also his book, Liberty on the Brink, How the Left Plans to Steal Your Vote. You can read, obtain those books through that as well, but his website, Robert H. Knight, and Knight is spelled with a K, RobertHKnight.com. But for his newsletter, just send him an email and just said, sign me up. Heard you on Crosstalk, sign me up. You send an email to Robert Knight, and then the number 4, RobertKnight4@gmail.com. And he'll be glad to. Go ahead.
Jim, last time I was on your show, dozens of people emailed me afterwards.
Hmm.
And I guess they went to your website because days later they said, oh, I just heard you in, a podcast.
Okay, yeah.
Jim's show. And I want you to send me your columns. So I hope people continue to do that.
Great, great. So we will have this posted on our write-up for today's program as well. Bob, just before we move on to what's happening tomorrow, Nancy Pelosi just won the speakership by 7 votes over Kevin McCarthy this past Sunday. And this is what's so remarkable to me. They even brought in Congresswoman Gwen Moore from Milwaukee. She's the congresswoman that oversees this area. On Monday of last week, I've got a press release from her, Monday, December 28th, saying, I tested positive for COVID-19. I'm following guidance from my doctor. I'm isolating from others. I'm thankful to be feeling well. I do not foresee this disrupting my work for Wisconsin's 4th. I encourage every person to continue taking measures to prevent the spread of COVID-19 by wearing a mask, washing your hands, and practicing social distancing. This came out Monday afternoon, the 28th. On Sunday, she's in Washington, D.C., casting her vote for Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah. It's do as I say, not as I do. So many times we see this over the past few weeks, especially, and all during the whole COVID thing, that the officials have a different set of rules than we do. Bill de Blasio told people to stay out of Times Square. He didn't want, people getting too close because of COVID. And there he is dancing in Times Square with his wife.
Yes.
It's like, oh, it's okay if he does it, but not the average person.
Yeah.
Governor Newsom of California. He was caught having a big family outing that far exceeded the limitations that the state had imposed on everybody else, and he went to a ritzy French restaurant called the French Laundry, and they were ordering bottles of wine that cost several hundred dollars. I mean, it was clear these people consider themselves the ruling elites, and the rest of us are just the lumpen proletariat who are supposed to do what they tell us.
Even we have Deborah Birx, who is checked on the welfare of her parents because they were isolated, they were lonely due to all this stuff, and pointed out the hypocrisy of this. And said, well, I was actually getting a home insulated or winterized or something of that nature, but very concerned about her parents who've been in isolation. So,
yeah, like a lot of people.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, but she just figures nobody's looking, she can get away with it.
Could you shed light?
Because.
Go ahead.
Well, just the media tend to cover up for Democrats.
Yeah.
They might even report it because it is newsy, and then they'll bury it. Whereas if a Republican does something like that, you can bet we'll hear about it for weeks.
Let's segue over to the vote, the issues going on tomorrow in the Congress. Bob, at 1 o'clock Eastern time, noon Central, we have Congress convening. It's going to be presided over by Vice President Mike Pence. And a vast discrepancy of opinion upon what authority the vice president does or does not have. We do know that there are going to be a large number of House members that will be objecting to the certified electoral vote. And Ted Cruz leading a coalition of a number of senators also in opposition to it. Your thoughts?
Well, there are a lot of people involved here. I mean, when you have 12 U.S. senators and now reportedly 100 congressmen saying, hey, we need a period of examination here before the votes are cast, that should be taken into account. And I wouldn't think that Joe Biden's people would have an objection to a brief delay to look at all the evidence, because if they're sure that there wasn't vote fraud, or at least now they're saying not enough of it to overturn the results, then they have nothing to fear. But if they go ahead and just have the vote and ignore all the incredible reports of vote fraud we've gotten from the six battleground states that decided the election, people are going to have a very bad taste. They're going to consider President Biden and President Kamala Harris, because they seem to be joined at the hip here, illegitimate presidents. And, you know, a lot of people also fear that Joe Biden's just a stand-in, that he's declining in health and mentally and physically, and that Kamala Harris is chomping at the bit to take over. And so that the perception of millions of Americans will be that this was a socialist coup engineered with the changing of election laws unconstitutionally, mass mailing of ballots, ballot fraud. I could go on and on about what's been occurring in order to have a one-party government installed with Kamala Harris, who is a Marxist, at its head. You know, will America put up with that? You kind of wonder what would the average person do confronted with that?
Yeah, and I mean, even last week, as current as last week after she was vaccinated, we have former Vice President Joe Biden referring to her, Kamala Harris, as President-elect Harris.
Yeah, he's had a number of gaffes that indicate he thinks she's the actual president. That wasn't the only one.
No, but she's done the same thing. She talks about under a Harris administration.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, so she's making the same moves. And many wonder, is there more truth than fiction in all of this?
Yeah, I think there's truth. She's vital and very ambitious, and she knows he's on his way out. And you know, I think it was Kamala who referred to it as the Harris Biden administration.
Mm-hmm.
And, she's not getting a lot of pushback from the press.
No,
they're delighted.
Yeah,
they figure she'll be more effective in pushing the whole progressive agenda. And by the way, we didn't go into that, the Medicare for all, the Green New Deal, which would pretty much destroy all the economic gains that President Trump managed in his 4 years with record low unemployment and just the incredible growth of wealth at all levels of society, especially among the working poor. When you head towards socialism, you bring economic catastrophe upon your country. And I just wonder how many people realize what they voted for. If they think that Joe Biden was moderate, oh, he's not going to change things very much. Well, his party has has a different idea.
Yeah.
They've been very clear about how radical their agenda is.
Yeah, but the media was not ramping it up. The media was not covering those issues.
No, they proclaimed he was a moderate. And then you look at his record, and he's, you know, he reversed his position on the Hyde Amendment. He wants taxpayers to fund abortions after all. Says he's a good Catholic, but this is a matter of conscience. Yeah, sure is a matter of conscience, and he's failing it, in my estimation. I didn't even mention guns in my column, but you know that the left is wants to get rid of all the guns in the country. They've admitted it. They said that the gun control measures, however incremental, would eventually add up to the government knowing who has the guns, where they are, and when they want to seize them. I think a lot of people need to take that seriously, because in other one-party countries, that's what always happens. They come in and seize the guns, and because they know that a well-armed and independent citizenry is their worst nightmare.
Mm-hmm. You referenced earlier Senator Josh Hawley, and there is a narrative that is needs to be told regarding what he has experienced at his own home versus what the media is telling us.
Yeah, Josh Hawley was away from his home, tending to business, and meanwhile his wife and newborn child were at home, and a mob came outside his home, brought bullhorns, and screamed at his wife, and came up to the door and pounded on it, and apparently, I don't know if she opened it or opened a window or whatever, and she asked them to leave. It was scaring the baby, it was scaring her neighbors. And they refused to leave, and they just kept screaming at her. And then the Washington Post the next day said that, oh, there was an outing at Josh Hawley's house conducted by what the group called, they called it a peaceful vigil. You know, when you pound on doors and you blow through bullhorns, you're not peaceful.
Yeah,
that's disturbing the peace.
Yeah,
and the Post covered it up, so Hawley went after him on social media today, saying, you know, the Washington Post is lying to you about what really happened. And by the way, that's par for the course for them.
You know, I think another matter that's going on as we consider the Georgia vote here today. Yesterday, former Vice President Joe Biden was saying, hey, if Democratic U.S. Senate candidates are elected, if they win their races, then Americans, you can expect to receive a $2,000 stimulus check. That almost sounds like a bribe.
Almost. I think it's a bribe.
Yeah.
It really is. I don't know. You know, the president threw in with them at the last minute and said, yeah, $2,000. Part of that was in response to the pork in the bill.
Right.
You know, just two-thirds of it was going to people other than American taxpayers. It was going overseas for gender studies in India and all kinds of weird, or Pakistan, and all kinds of other things. And he said, well, you know, get the pork out, get the money to the American people. And if you get the pork out, then the American people should get, you know, a bigger check to get them through this COVID economic crisis. But, you know, this they've been bribing people for years. They basically try to induce dependency.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Democratic plan for election, is to bring in millions of undocumented aliens, as they like to put them, undocumented citizens, get them hooked on government aid, and eventually turn them into citizens who can vote, and therefore turn them into a permanent dependency voting bloc. One of the scariest things I can think of, and which is why we need a border. We need legitimate immigration, people who go through the rules. But, you know, if you have a united Democrat government, I don't think the border will be safe for very long.
No, and the message is already getting out with caravans and even the influx that's been happening within the last many days and weeks leading up to what they anticipate will be a Biden administration. We're going to take a quick break. We have just a little bit more discussion before we open up some phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Robert Knight is our guest. At stake, the saving of our republic. You know, if you missed his website and the email address to sign up for his email newsletter, just be listening. Be ready with pen in hand. We'll be sharing that after the break. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk. James 4:14 poses this thought. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, but I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values. While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed His blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in Him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829. listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Robert Knight is our guest, and if you'd like his newsletter as he writes these columns, you can just send an email to him, Robert Knight. That's with a K, Robert Knight, then the number 4 at gmail.com. Robert Knight 4 at gmail.com. Just say, I heard you on Crosstalk. Send me your columns, and he'll take care of doing that. He does have resources available on his website and other information. That website is roberthknight.com. That's roberthknight.com. While all of this is going on, all of these legal challenges and so forth, there was a new one that just hit today, Bob. I mean, just reported just within the last couple hours on WND.com. Now there's a lawsuit in California that's accusing California officials of rampant election code violations and fraud, and that this irreparably contaminated the results of the 2020 election, and now trying to decertify the 55 electoral votes from California.
Yeah, that, I wish they'd done it sooner, because, you know, we're on the eve of the vote in Congress, or in the Senate. I've wondered about this for years, whether anybody would ever go after California, because the incidences of vote fraud there are just glaring. In 2018, when the Democrats took all the congressional seats in Orange County, where I used to live, very conservative county, they took them all. Republicans are ahead by as much as 14% on election evening. And then they kept counting votes that were just mysteriously turning up until the Democrats prevailed. The other thing is that they have give driver's licenses to illegal aliens, and the DMV registers people automatically to vote.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, oh, don't worry, the driver's licenses have a little designation on them that you're not a U.S. citizen. But I think in the... when you're talking millions of documents, it would be pretty easy to vote illegally. California is full of vote fraud, and that's, I'm glad somebody's finally going after it.
Your fellow columnist at townhall.com, Beth Bauman, indicated that a handful of Republican state senators in Georgia have asked Vice President Pence now to postpone the counting of electoral votes. There is discrepancy to as to what authority he has tomorrow in this, whether it is more of a ministerial role or if he's got a very active role. And I know that the jury is out on that one, Bob.
It really is out on that one because there was a law passed back in the 1800s that designated the vice president as the one who counts the votes. It doesn't say he can decide whether to count them or not, but it doesn't bar him from announcing a delay for a period of examination either.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the lawyers are going to duke it out over this one. But I wouldn't want to be in Vice President Pence's shoes right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's going to be damned no matter what he does, mm-hmm. either way. He's in a very critical point. I would say he could qualify as one of the chapters in John Kennedy's book, Profiles in Courage, if he does what I think is the right thing, which is to delay the count until this can be examined fully with experts from both sides, do it quickly, do it efficiently, and then announce. And if it looks like Biden still won, okay, that's the way it goes.
Robert Knight, our guest here today in Crosstalk. We're opening our phone lines. Our number here, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Taking your comments, taking your questions here today on Crosstalk. But we understand as they meet tomorrow and they're going to go through these votes state by state, Bob, and to affirm or not affirm votes. And if there's discrepancy, of which we know there is going to be, voiced by a large number, over 100 congressmen, and then we have Ted Cruz and at least 11 joining him in opposition, that then the debate has to go off into the individual houses and where things go from that. I guess we're going to find out, but very interesting indeed as to all of this unfolding at this time. Bob, I know...
Yeah, you also have legislators from the states in question challenging the results.
Exactly.
Lots of them. Pennsylvania, I mean, the states that really prove crucial in the final count A great number of legislators have said, we don't think it was valid. Please do not go ahead and vote for the Democrat electors, because the allegations of vote fraud are serious. They've never been fully addressed, and they need to be.
Barbara Knight, our guest here today on Crosstalk. And one further comment, Bob, before we pick up the calls, and that is the importance of people continuing to be in prayer regarding all that's transpiring this week.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I do a weekly call with Bishop E.W. Jackson for conservative leaders around the country. I did it at noon today, and we had James Robison on, and he was talking about the way God has used Donald Trump. Yeah. And he said, you know, he's an interesting character. He's probably not everybody's cup of tea as a Christian, but God uses people like that. And he's used him, and he's surrounded him with some very prominent theologians. And he said that God can use anybody. And he believes he has used Donald Trump in a good way to benefit everybody, especially Christians, because he's defended religious liberty. He brought our economy back. He's put God and country central in his message. Whereas the Democrats keep screeching toward a secular, socialistic worldview that's at odds with our American heritage.
Let's go to the phone lines. Don in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, Jim, and thank you for having Bob Knight on. I'm calling to comment about that man of the cloth that said, we are all the children of God. Scripture says differently. Galatians 3:26 says, for we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a man. And furthermore, John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, that's Christ, he's a man, to them God gave power, listen, to become sons and daughters of God. And furthermore, he said a woman needed to be added to the end of his prayer. The word amen includes men and women. And everybody knows that.
Well, it means so be it, is what it means. And indeed, we're not all the children of God. I mean, even Jesus himself said to those who are opposing him, you're of your father, the devil. So, keep that in mind. Thank you. Thank you, Don.
That's so true. And you see that thrown around, especially by politicians.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, everyone's a child of God. We're all children of God. And I'm thinking, no, we aren't.
Yeah.
Jesus made it clear. You got to accept him.
Right.
Then you can become a child of God.
Amen. Kathy is next. West Allis, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a question about the speculation that somehow Kamala Harris could become president if Biden is incapacitated, whatever. But I know she was born in the United States, but her parents were not citizens of the country. And even though she is allowed to hold a Senate seat, I thought that a presidential candidate had to be born of citizen parents in this country.
That's a great question. I don't think that's the case. I think if you're natural born, regardless, which is the case with a lot of anchor babies, and that law really ought to be changed. Cause, and they have baby tourism where they come and have a baby just to acquire American citizenship.
So you're saying that natural citizen would be one that is born on U.S. soil?
Of U.S.
That's right, and apparently she was, so I don't think that will be an issue.
Hmm.
Okay, because her parents were foreign-born, and they were not citizens, apparently.
Yeah.
Right, right. Well, Ted Cruz had one parent who was not a U.S. citizen, and I think, wasn't Ted born in Canada, but his father was a U.S. citizen. I remember the Democrats were trying to say he was unqualified to run for president, but that was dismissed pretty quickly.
Yeah, I don't think they'd say the same about Kamala, would they? Thank you, Kathy.
No, I don't think they would.
Jenny is next. You're on the air, Jenny.
Hi, thank you.
That's a good question, though.
With the Dominion voting machines and the hammer and scorecard being so prevalent down in Georgia, what are they doing about the votes down there now? Couldn't that happen all over again with the Senate races, and what's being done to change all of that? Couldn't the votes be changed and the Democrats get in instead of the Republicans if everybody voted for the Republicans?
Hmm. Bob, is it deja vu all over again?
Well, it could be, and that's everybody's fear, that if they don't go in and fix the system, the same thing's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And Dominion, I guess, is running the voting machines down there, but, of course, now they're under a microscope, and I would hope there would be, if there's any discrepancy, I would hope they would be examined fully by a fully accredited team that could know where to look for this kind of thing. I've been reading a lot about these voting machines and how they work, and you probably mentioned this at some point, Jim, about the expert who testified before Georgia's Senate last week and said, we've hacked into Dominion's voting system.
Yeah,
we've hacked it, and Dominion has, people have testified that they're offline.
Jovan,
there's no way
Pulitzer.
They could be hacked.
Pulitzer was
the thing. Just done it.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
And I keep waiting for someone to address that, you know, at the highest levels. And what they're doing instead is attacking the character of people who are questioning the veracity of the vote. It's all become a character issue that, oh, if you don't, you're destroying democracy if you don't just go along and say Biden won. And look at that phone call with President Trump and Raffensperger, the Secretary of State of Georgia. Apparently it was a contentious phone call for about an hour. The left is now saying, oh, it's grounds for impeachment. They love to do that over a phone call. It didn't work with the Ukrainian phone call, but I don't know why they'd have to impeach him if they think they won anyway. But they totally misconstrued what Trump and the attorney, Cleta Mitchell, was doing. They were pressing the Secretary of State of Georgia to present the evidence that allegations had been discredited and release the reports, because he'd say, oh, yeah, we looked into that and there's nothing to it. He said, okay, well, let's see. And Trump was exasperated trying to get Raffensperger to agree to it. And he said, look, I won by hundreds of thousands of votes, and you don't even have to find 11,000 to change the outcome. He wasn't asking him to create 11,000 fake votes. He was asking to do due diligence and find the extent of vote fraud of at least 11,000 votes. So, of course, you know, the media have run with this, and they've made it seem like Trump is some dictator who is dictating to a state official on how to create votes, and they've taken it entirely out of context.
Thank you, Jenny, for the call. Tyrone is next in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Yes, well, bless and joyous New Year to you, Jim, and Robert, yes, and everyone across the country. Thank you for taking my call. Jim, well, I tell you, I'm still on a swivel there from listening to Brandon there, but I'll do the best I can here. You know, as taxpayers, I guess we're supposed to be an extension of the Constitution and vice versa there. With the virus and these people dying in the hospitals and all, and the vaccine and everything, I mean, you know, they're lying to us about different things there, you know, what's in the vaccine and everything, and, you know, stealing the vote and everything. I mean, where's the Better Business Bureau and the FDA and the different courts there that are supposed to stand with the taxpayer, us the people, and with the backing of the Constitution, say, well, everybody in Washington, D.C., you're going to get your pink slip and get to walking.
Yeah. Tyrone, I'm up against a break. Just stay with us. I'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. We have broken a new story with Mary Fanning and Alan Jones, national security authors and researchers. My friends, since November 1st, there has been one of the people that they've been working with and we've been talking about for a couple months now, the source. He has been capturing, as of November 1st and until the last few days, in real time, videotaping the steal of the 2020 presidential election. We have the article about it at worldviewtimes.com. Not only did we have people involved in the U.S., but North Korea, Pakistan, Iraq, China, and Russia. Cyber warfare to put their people into power. Full details at worldviewtimes.com, and the article is there for you to read and distribute. We're at one of the most dangerous times in American history as enemies, foreign and domestic, are attacking our constitutional republic.
listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Robert Knight is our guest. Again, his website, roberthknight.com. Robert H. Knight. Knight is spelled with a K. roberthknight.com. And for his writings, you can just send an email to robertknight4@gmail.com. Tyrone, we're going to have you just wrap up in about 30 seconds. Do you have a specific question for Bob Knight?
Well, Jim, I tell you, basically I just want him to do the best he can. You know, who are the people that are standing with us? Better Business Bureau, FDA, whatever court, Supreme Court, whoever, as taxpayers with the Constitution backing us, you know, who do we have on our side saying, well, no, you're not going to steal the election. You're not just going to mandate that we take this vaccine. And do this to us and our children here. What are we doing here?
Thank you, Tyrone. So government overreach, Bob, who do we turn to?
That's a good question. I think the courts are the ultimate place we turn, especially if the elections don't turn out the way we want. And thank God President Trump appointed over 200 judges who are constitutionally minded. That's one of the most important things he did in his 4 years, and it is hoped he could do it for four more and really restructure the federal judiciary. But elections matter. Elections have consequences. And so we all have to work toward educating our friends, our neighbors, people at church, and letting them know the truth, because the level of misinformation and outright lies presented by everyday media, from CNN to the New York Times, is just, it's beyond anything I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Yeah.
They lie, they lie, they lie. When they don't lie, they smear. And they use character assassination instead of meeting genuine arguments. You know, I have yet to see a good refutation of many of these allegations of vote fraud that have been brought up in countless publications and by computer experts who have a list of credentials a mile long, things like the stopping of voting in the middle of the night and then the infusion of hundreds of thousands of votes for Joe Biden that couldn't have been done physically or electronically if it was done in a legitimate manner. It had to have been a logarithm that was manipulated. That kind of thing. Why don't we see that being brought into the light of day instead of just in columns, in reputable publications? But I want to see Congress bring it out for all to see.
Let's have Gary next. Ironwood, Michigan. Hi, Gary. You're on the air.
Hi, John. Mr. Knight. I've got a question about the security of the election. How did all these people break into the systems and alter the results? And the second part, I haven't heard anybody talk to, is if they apply the 26th Amendment to Biden, who's going to be Harris's vice president? There's only one woman I know that's mad enough to want to be that, and she lives in New York. So,
yeah, and her name's Hillary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, two good questions. The first is, as the gentleman from that security company testified before the Georgia Senate a few days ago, it's not that hard to bust into these voting machines, and he showed how they do it. I'm not a computer expert; I can't explain it to you, and we don't even have time for that. But it can be done. I think that the main allegation is that the system was set up with the software to make it easy to manipulate. Because if you can break in and remove data and then alter it and put it back, which seems to have been in the case in some places where Trump's votes just disappeared and he came back with a lower total and Biden suddenly went through the roof, these anomalies, as they call them, are so wildly unplausible that they deserve a really serious examination.
Indeed.
As far as who would, if Biden is displaced by the 25th Amendment invocation, because he appears to be unable to conduct his duties in office, and Kamala Harris becomes president, assuming they get where they want to be, they haven't said anything about who could be selected vice president. Could be anybody. Mm-hmm. Hillary, the nation is divided now. Can you imagine if they picked Hillary to If they picked Hillary, if I were Kamala Harris, I'd be worried.
Let's go to Barbara in Washington State. Barbara, you're on the air.
Thank you. I have a question. Will the winners of the Georgia Senate race today be involved in the Electoral College vote tomorrow?
We don't know when the results are going to be. There is that expect delay. So, I mean, they are convening tomorrow. So that's up in the air yet, isn't it?
Yeah, that might be one reason to delay the final vote. These two senators need to be seated. And if they aren't, are people going to say, well, look, that would have changed the outcome? It probably wouldn't right now, either way, in the electoral vote. But certainly will change the outcome of whether the Democrats take all the major branches of government that matter. I mentioned at the outset that, they haven't taken the courts because they used to have the courts, but now the Republicans under Trump have retaken many of the court seats at the appellate level, including the Supreme Court. But they're talking about packing the court if they get both.
Yep.
Both houses of Congress.
Let's pick up Peter.
And adding Senate seats in D.C. and Puerto Rico. I joked about it in my column.
Tell you what, we got to go to Peter in Alamo, Texas. Peter, you're on the air.
Yes. My question is, why didn't the Supreme Court get involved? Are they not protected by the Secret Service? Are their lives being threatened?
A lot of people are wondering why they didn't get involved, because it looked like a case that matches their requirements for jurisdiction. It was a dispute between the states. Who else could intervene except the Supreme Court? I think they had a perfect case to take it up and order that there be investigations, but they didn't. You can speculate as to why not. I think it was a failure of courage.
I tell you what, we're going to try to squeeze Pat in yet. Pat, about 15 seconds, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Would it be possible to re-examine the Senate outcomes in Michigan and Arizona? Thank you.
Okay.
If there's vote fraud all over the place, you wonder about these other races that were close.
Yeah.
And even with the vote fraud, Republicans did very well in the election. They almost took the House. They kept all the Senate seats they were supposed to lose. They kept all state legislatures. And that's why it boggles the mind that the man at the top would have lost when his party did so well and his party supported him.
We got to leave it there, Bob. Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Jim. God bless you.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.